Okay, we're live. So I was telling you about my egg toasts. And so what I did is I take the white bread. This is what I did today, which ended up in the worst outcome I've had so far. Is I take the bread and I like push a little like divot in the middle so that when you crack the egg into it, then it doesn't like just run over the side of the egg. Excuse me, like it stays in there. So I did that in the bread. Number one, I did it on a paper plate and the bread stuck to the plate, so when I took the bread off, then pieces tore off. So there was holes in my bread where I was gonna crack the egg, but we persevered. And then I cracked the egg in there. It didn't really do fucking jack shit. They still ran over the side of the bread. And then I put pieces of my ham on top of the egg. And this is what ruined me. And I put a little bit of cheese on the ham, because I was like, oh, I'm going to make a little, like, ham cheese toast. Mm-hmm. Cook it in the air fryer for, like, 10 minutes. And I take it out. Bread basically uncooked. Like, completely. Just a complete soggy fucking mess. Outside of, like, the edges and the corners that were, like, exposed in the basket. The ham's fine. But it's, like, all fucking curled and crunched up. The egg, like, the egg on the one toast was, like, basically non-existent because it all ran off. And the egg on the other toast was, like, basically not really cooked, I guess because the ham was on top of it.
I don't even know what you're trying to do with this shit. Sounds like you're just trying to ruin eggs. Bread. Primarily.
Well, I mean, that kind of is what ended up happening. It was pretty terrible. The ham was good, though. But fuck me, that was dinner. I had like 2 pieces of ham, and that's it. And like some potatoes. Pretty badass, though, all things considered. Kind of awesome. Alright, well, let's not dilly-dally, because our last one went fucking 3 hours, and we should not make this one go 3 hours either.
That's true.
We are here today, listeners, to talk about our favorite music from 2021, following up our last episode, which was our favorite movies. Music has been a long-running staple of this show since the beginning. And not only that, but it's probably been the subject that our longest episodes are about, usually, so fucking strap in.
Is it usual?
I feel like it is. I feel like the music ones usually go, like, 2 hours. Or they used to.
God.
Yeah. And I know the, like, year-end music ones were... There were some long ones there. Regardless... We're going to try and practice some brevity tonight. We're recording at night. We'll peek behind the curtain. So, as is customary, I keep track throughout the year of the music that I like, the songs and the albums and such that come out. And I put it together in a list. I've narrowed down to 10. And, along with some shout-outs. I don't know what Jake does. I feel like he does something different every year.
Look. We're working on levels of improvisation beyond which we've ever reached before today. So, I'll let you take the lead.
Okay. I will. I will start by saying my shout-outs. These ones did not break my top 10 for various reasons, some of which just simply I didn't listen to them enough, or they probably would have. Others were missing that panache that I look for.
The je ne sais quoi.
The je ne sais quoi. Regardless, these are ones that I still feel deserve some recognition, and they include... The album New Long Leg by Dry Cleaning came out earlier in the year. They listened to that one a lot. Wait, maybe I made a mistake. Uh-oh. The album Haram by rap duo Armand Hammer, produced by The Alchemist. That's one that I probably, if I listened to more, probably would have been in my top 10. It's a damn good album.
Sounds like you got a fraudulent fucking list here.
No, there was a lot of good music in 2021. Like, as we were going through it, I was like, you know, there's whatever. But now that, like, for some reason I've been going back to a lot of the stuff that I liked, and I'm very impressed. There's a lot of really good shit that came out last year.
Look, I spent most of the year listening to Leonard Cohen and Joyce Manor, probably, and Townes Van Zandt, until our good friends at the Indie Head subreddit put out their Spotify playlist again.
Christ.
Yes, sir, baby.
God.
I listened to that, and I was like, hey, there's some stuff I like here, I guess. I don't know.
No, 2020, I'd
see it. Clown on me all you want, which you should, because it is
so humiliating. I can't believe you just said that into a mic.
It is embarrassing. I will own that. That I fucking I shouldn't say I care about what these fucking dweebs think, because I don't. But it is just a very handy, convenient guide on it. Shit, that music that came out in the year that is, you know, within it, probably my interest. So,
well, that notwithstanding,
easy to use.
I'm sure there was some crossover between that and some of the songs or some of the albums that I liked a lot. So, regardless, really good year, honestly, in all hindsight. I felt like 2020 was more of a down year than 2021. 2021 has really great stuff. Okay, but yeah, Haram by Armand Hammer, really awesome. Shout out to Volcanic Bird Enemy and The Voice Concerned by Lil Ugly Mane. This is another one that, if I had just listened to it a little more, probably would deserve a spot in the top 10. I like Lil Ugly Mane a lot, and he hasn't really done much in years and years and years, and then this came out of nowhere in October, and it is fucking weird as hell, and very cool. Very, very cool. I liked it a lot. Shout out to Blue Weekend by Wolf Alice. I listened to this album a whole lot during the summer for some reason. It's just very solid. And shout out to Call Me If You Get Lost by Tower of the Creator. Didn't hit me the way that Igor or Flower Boy did, but very few albums do in the pop rap category of album. Regardless, Tyler the Creator is working within his wheelhouse. He has established a sort of, wheelhouse that he works within. And Call Me If You Get Lost is a great addition to that, I think. And really, really good. And that's all my shout-outs. Unless you have any you'd like to add?
Not for an album, but I will say one of the best songs of the year on an album I didn't really care for very much. It's Boys at School by Spelling. Pretty awesome song.
I didn't listen to that album.
It's like very, I don't know, like try hard art pop vibe. It feels like we're trying to be like Kate Bush here, and it's straining a little bit.
Okay.
Didn't really love it. I wish that it was more, you know, but Boys at School is fucking awesome.
Okay.
I wish that it was more, you know, songs about teenage sexual neuroses.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Instead of, like, fairies or whatever.
Have I got the HBO original for you?
Ooh, do tell. I can't wait to talk about it on Twitter with every other annoying fucking white 20-year-old.
We're talking about Euphoria, if that went over your heads, everyone. They're like, what the fuck?
Oh, I was talking about Succession.
Yeah.
Got him.
Okay.
Zach watches Succession.
I do watch it. Succession is fucking great. Whenever, the first year that Succession came out, Song of the Year was the theme song. The pianos.
What year was that?
I think it came out, I want to say 20... 18 was the first season of Succession.
I asked that question before I realized that you were being, like, glib, but... but, okay. Good to know, I guess.
Okay. So is that your only shout-out? The boys in school?
Boys at school.
Boys at school. Excuse me. Okay. Well, that's kind of... that's kind of a decent segue. I always take a minute on these episodes to discuss my songs of the year. I don't really have a big list this year, but I will say the song Narrator by Squid.
Yes, sir.
Is my song of the year. What's going on here?
I'm missing.
Narrator.
On purpose.
And
subversively.
We'll get into that album because it is in my top 10. Narrator is the song of the year, and I don't think it's particularly close.
Yeah, I think I agree with that.
Are we recording? Oh my fucking god, I forgot if I selected it. Yeah, we'll talk about that one, because that song is fucking awesome. Shout out also to John 50 by Black Midi, great song. I Tried to Tell You by Weather Station. Hostage Master by Lil Ugly Mane. Really like all those songs as well. In addition to countless other stuff. Yeah, the Narrator, song of the year. And I think that, unless you do have any songs you want to shout out specifically?
No. Oh, I found a beach house song that I really like.
Ooh, which is?
It is Superstar.
Let's go. Superstar's awesome. That album comes out early February 8th, I think. Very excited.
Okay. Probably not going to listen to it, but...
I will. I'll listen to it enough for both of us.
That's fine.
No doubt. Plus, I get to see them in concert. How about that shit?
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, in a pandemic?
Yeah, and I ain't wearing a mask either. Okay. Let's get into it.
We have fun here. You'll wear a mask.
Yeah. I'm not going. I'll catch it on YouTube. All right. Let's get into it. How about we do the thing? I'll do two, you do one.
I don't know if I have...
You need five. Like, think. Holy shit, dog.
I'll slap it together.
The unfortunate thing is, if there's some crossover, then that'll narrow it down. Okay, whatever then. My number 10 album of the year is Smiling With No Teeth by Genesis Owusu. That album is awesome. I know we did talk about this one earlier last year, actually, one of the few episodes that we did in 2021. One of the few episodes that we did in 2021 actually included a few of the albums on my list, which is weird. Smiling With No Teeth, super fucking cool. Genesis Owusu is a really, really, really interesting and exciting young artist out of Australia that I am really looking forward to what he does next. He just flexes, like, a whole lot of range, a whole lot of styles, and from, like, rap to a more, like, almost Death Grips-y style of rap to funk to this very sweet, like, crooning. It's, like, there's a lot of different sort of textures going on that album that I think he pulls off really, really well. I didn't really listen to it too much in the back half of the year. I listened to it a lot around when it came out, though. And it is definitely... I don't know, he's definitely worth keeping an eye on as an artist to watch. And that album, I think, is a really great... I believe that was a debut, also. Just super, super, super impressive debut from that guy.
I got five.
Let's go. Yeah. Smiling With No Teeth, my number 10. Number 9, and here is Bright Green Field by Squid.
Okay, well, I got four now.
Well, where's this on your ranking? Because if this is higher up on
you're asking me so much, Zach.
basically just the bare minimum, right? Because if this is higher up for you than, like...
I'll put it at...
Ooh.
Hold on. I forgot what one of them was. I'll put it at 3.
Okay. So we'll get into bright green... Okay, we'll get into bright green field boar whenever Jake brings it up. Because this album is fucking...
filing away the fucking numbers in my head. I had to do simple addition.
I have thoughts on this album that are obviously largely positive. But there's stuff I definitely want to talk about. And also play. As is tradition, we usually play snippets. Yeah, Bright Green Field by Squid. We'll get to that, I guess. But that is a pretty awesome album, all in all. Tossing it to you.
Okay. Number 5.
Number Game 5.
Excuse me. So I didn't mention, maybe this should have gone before the countdown started, but, you know, the Jake's fucking lesbian indie music corner had a new episode this year.
You,
I guess,
still listening to that gay shit?
Well, I blitzed through all of them in the past month or so. Less than, shorter than that, fucking past 2 weeks.
I didn't even know that there, this was 2021, a big year for the,
well,
let's, the folk,
let's run
queers
through it. Okay, so we had Phoebe Bridgers last year. Great album.
Destroyer, that album's awesome. That was in my top 10.
Destroyer was a different guy. He had an album last year, Zach.
Okay. Punisher. Fuck me.
You could have told me any fucking name for that, for her album last year.
Destroyer and Punisher. That's a pretty close one. Like,
they're close. Look, I liked her album too. I couldn't tell you the fucking name of it if you had a gun to my head.
It was very good though.
She had an album last year, so she, you know, out of lockstep with the others. But we had a Julian Baker album this year. I forget what it's called. Pretty good. She was always my least favorite of this sort of bunch. Way too,
hold that L, bitch.
Way too, I guess, soft-spoken, acoustic-y for me. I was like, Zach is just fucking rolling his eyes, man. Well, this album was like a, you know, it steps out from that sort of. This is her fucking third album. Give her a break, my man.
You're saying that she's shit.
Well, this album steps out from that sort of style a lot more than I guess I was expecting it to, and I think it's pretty good. We got, she doesn't really fit into this bunch, but Mitski released some singles this year.
Oh, how are those? I haven't listened.
I only listened to the one, but it's great.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So she's going to be putting out an album soon. So, you know, we're all rubbing our hands like Birdman on that one. Who the fuck else is there? Lucy Dacus. She put out an album this year. Pretty mid. I got to be honest. I'm worried that
Historian... You really liked her last one.
I did. Historian was, you know, one of my favorite albums of whatever fucking year that came out in. I'm worried that that's, like, the peak for her. Because this one doesn't really... It feels very similar to that one. Which is disappointing. I was hoping for more. There's some songs on there that I just straight up fucking hate. The writing.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Wow.
So.
Not good. Bring your better game next time, Lucy.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm missing anyone else.
Would you consider a Japanese Breakfast in that mold?
No.
She's different. I agree.
I didn't love her album, though.
I didn't love it either. People really liked it.
Yeah, they did.
Did not really stick with me at all. I like her other two better.
I agree.
A lot better, I should say.
What fucking other lesbians are there?
The Weather Station album. Did you listen to that?
I don't know what that is.
I like that one quite a bit.
Pass. Actually. Okay, well, anyway. Snail Mail.
Is that
Jordan.
Where we're getting to?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Lindsay Jordan. So she, back in whatever fucking year that all these broads put out albums at the same fucking time. whenever that was, then snail mail was always the sort of, you know, grungier.
Tell me if there's any music songs roll. You want me to play. You can look it up.
Okay.
The reason I didn't for the two that I said is because I've already played songs on this show from them. So I didn't feel inclined to dig up anymore. Plus, we'll get to Squid also. But, yeah, Snail Mail came out with an album. She's really hot, too.
Well, she's not you're in the market,
I guess. No! Girl, you say you're a lesbian? Me too.
Shut up.
Oh, fuck. Oh, you forgot to put Certified Lover Boy
no,
on
No, I
list.
Didn't. I forgot to put the other one on
the
list.
Oh, no, Jake.
Fuck.
Whatever. Throw it on somewhere.
Yeah, okay.
Make one a tie.
Whatever the number four is. Yeah. Sorry.
Make it a tie, a split decision.
Don't worry, already forgot what I had at number four.
You're really on your fucking A game.
But no, yeah, anyway, Snail Mail. She was the sort of grungier, out of left field one of these, like, this, like, lesbian core, like, indie artists from 2018 or whatever it was that I listened to. And I liked that album a lot. Lush, her debut album. I thought that was fucking awesome. But not as good as, you know, Lucy Dacus, I thought. I'm like, talk about like my Power Rangers here. but this year then, Snail Mail put out an album called Valentine, which I think is actually really good and really sort of took me by surprise. It's a way different, it's not, I mean, the last one was like pretty straightforward indie rock, stuff, but I just like, well done.
Jake just was holding the iPad and just rotated it a complete 360 degrees for some reason.
Because the fucking charging cable looked like it was all, like, spun around and shit. But I could just unplug the charging cable. But anyway, Valentine is, I mean, it's still, like, within this, like, indie rock kind of flavor for a lot of it. But it's also, like, more just, like, got this weird, like, what the fuck? I almost clicked some shit on your iPad. It's almost got this weird, or, like, love song, romance, lounge music type, like, Sinatra crooning type of vibe to it, which is actually really cool. Hmm. This is the song that stuck out with me. I haven't listened to this fucking album in a couple weeks. I have lost all track of time. It's been a couple moments since I listened to this album, so I'm not, the Twitter fingers are not fucking, like, very nimble on the scrubbing for the fucking timeline, so whatever, I'm just gonna throw this song. This is called Forever Sailing, and I think it's a good display of what this album is sort of working. Let me just skip ahead.
That sounded good. I like that.
Yeah, it is sort of a different sort of vibe than I was, I guess, expecting out of Snail Mail. Not really, I'll be honest, didn't know until this month that she even put out an album last year.
That first Snail Mail album, nobody would shut the fuck up about it, so I had to know really? That it existed. Oh my god, I feel, maybe it was just the circle on Twitter I was in at the time, but I fucking saw that shit everywhere. This one, I agree. Also, I feel like I really didn't see much of it at all. Which is, you know, not really a judgment on her. She seems like a talented musician, but It was weird, given how buzzy the last one was.
Yeah. But, you know, I think it's, I might say that it's better than our first one.
Ooh.
In all honesty. Cool. I think it's really good. Okay. I think the new different sort of mode that she's in is, exciting. And I'm, you know, looking forward to her continuing.
Cool.
Experimenting with that stuff.
Cool. All right. My next two... Next up is actually another one we've already discussed, which is Godspeed at State's End by Godspeed You, Black Emperor. This is one that we discussed on the same episode as the Genesis Owusu one.
Wow, I don't remember that fucking at all, yeah, man.
It was right after this one came out. It's great. It is as good as Godspeed has sounded since 2012. Really fucking beautiful music that is impossible to find a snippet of for 30 seconds, given that these songs are like 10, 12 minutes long. No, Godspeed is Godspeed's Godspeed. They got back to what they fucking do best, which is make a profoundly beautiful and sad music about the collapse of the world, basically, and what comes after. And State's End is awesome. State's End is like the feels like it could be the cherry on the top of their career, which would be sad in some ways because they're a tremendous group, I think. Dating back to the 90s, right, with Lift Your Skinny Fingers Like Antennas to the Sky. They are awesome. I love Godspeed. I'm seeing them in April in Philly, by the way. I needed to shell out for tickets because they weren't coming to Pittsburgh. I needed to see them because I think this could be their last tour ever, and I was like, I need to see Godspeed before it's too late. And I'm gonna, folks, and not only that, but it's gonna be for a great album that I really, really liked a lot. So that is number 8. Number 7 is Pray for Haiti by the rapper Mac Homie. And let me just say this.
Whoa.
Griselda Gang, I think, is putting out the most consistent, best work in the rap game currently over the last maybe 2 years, let's say. Mac Homie is a part of the Griselda extended universe. And Pray for Haiti is fucking awesome. I remember this album came out and was immediately, I think, my number one rap album for the year. It is not still that, but it is damn good. Since Pray for Paris, Griselda's been on a fucking tear with West Side Guns, Hitler Wears Hermes 8, and Hitler Wears Hermes 8 Part 2. There's this, Benny and Conway have had their shit popping up. Like, I mean, Griselda's awesome. And Pray for Haiti is, I think, the sharpest, maybe, the Griselda sound has ever been. It's very much about, Mac Homie is a Haitian, American. I believe he's lives in New York or New Jersey. It's very much about the sort of, state of affairs for the unfortunate state of Haiti, I suppose, and about him being caught as someone over here while he has family over there, and what do you do there? And it's a great blending of it's really unique because it blends a lot of that sort of perspective, his Haitian perspective. Like, he raps in like Haitian Creole at times on the album. There's a lot of like Creole and like French influences throughout that are like really fucking cool and that like you do not really see anywhere at all. And also like just fucking clean. He's just on top of his game. I had never heard anything by Mac Homie before this. And this is like as polished and as like just absolutely tight in his flows. His beats are fucking great. He's got awesome guests. The song with I'm gonna play a snippet of a song called Murder Season. Features West Side Gunn. West Side Gunn is all throughout this album, and he brings it. Like, it's awesome. Here's Murder Season a little bit. Let's skip ahead. CCE from Murder Season again. We actually get Murder Season again. I ain't even gonna tell you what Jigga told me. God damn. I ain't gonna do that. I'm on my centros, mix rock with calypsos. You on your tiptoes, food out to us a shit show. Octagon face, AP, you see the wrist froze. You see the 10 chains, I kept the Maybach fishbowl. On the corner, fiends dancing like a disco. New products, dolphin colors, I'm out on Brinko. Ramadan, we used to pay extra for kosher trays in a shoot. Charles S. Dutton, come on now, boss, stop my clientele crushing. Got some corn starch, I am well, fuck it, I'm all time, most high, you might fail, rugged, me no. So that's Murder Season. I'll play a little bit of Foyer Adieu earlier on the album, also great.
Conductor, song. Conductor, conductor.
Coincidentally, both those were mostly West Side Gunn heavy snippets, but it's an awesome album. Super fucking tight throughout. One of the best of this like universe of like insane luxury rap that Griselda's building. That it's awesome. It fucking did a lot that I think was very sick. I think those are my two, right? Yeah. My tube, you're up.
All right. Next up is Brett Greenfield. We're adjusting the order.
Oh, shit. Okay, well, let's get into it. Yeah. Squid, baby.
Squid Game.
What do you know about Squid?
I don't know fucking anything about Squid.
You don't know about Squid? Did you know that the main singer is the drummer?
No.
Yeah, his name is Ollie.
Okay.
Did you know that they're British?
No.
Yeah, they're British.
Don't care.
All right, what do you think about Squid? This is their debut album. They are lumped into the, just giving a bit of context, Squid is lumped into the Black Midi, Black Country, New Road, that whole fucking jumble of Brits making rock music, and some of them are going to show up later on this list. They've been releasing singles for years. They've been really good, like Houseplants and The Cleaner. This was their debut album. What are you thinking?
I think it's really good. It's number 4 on my esteemed top 5.
It's number 9 on my esteemed top 10.
Yeah, I think Narrator is the song of the year. Reminded me, at first blush, and you know what? Our friends at Reddit put it at number 2 on their list. So
for song of the year?
That's right.
It is.
So how are you going to hate when you are inside the club? Narrator is a fucking wild song. It reminded me at first, on first listen, I mean, maybe, I guess it still reminds me, like, no, not necessarily stop reminding me, of first time I listened to Sunglasses by Black Country New Road.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, not as good as Sunglasses. Sunglasses is, like, probably the best song of the past 10 years.
All right.
Easy. The single version, I should say. The initial cut of it that Black Country put out in 2019. But yeah, narrator is sort of in that same kind of sphere to me of my understanding. Whoa. I blinked and opened my eyes, and it looked like the table was, like, swaying. That was weird. Yeah, I think that this is a fantastic... They do remind me of Black Country in a lot of ways.
I think they're...
They're a little more, lighthearted.
I was gonna say, I think in this, like, sort of, musical sort of, like, moment going on overseas, like, Squid, I think, is, like, as fun as it gets. Like, mm-hmm. A lot of these songs are really, like, have a really nice, like, grooves to them, and, like, are on the funkier side. And, like, their singer, I think, has such a great voice. Like, he sounds so, like, cartoonish.
Mm-hmm.
My one thing, I'll get this out of the way now, and why Brett Greenfield is lower on this list for me, is I feel like there were parts of it that felt like, I think there are awesome songs in here. Narrator, Boy Racers, Pamphlets. Pamphlets is awesome. Peel Street. I think there were parts of it that just are caught, like, meandering. Like, I think if they narrowed this down to, like, 8 or 9 songs, then it might be, like, album of the year for me. But I think there's stuff that's just caught a little excessive, didn't need to be there, could have been cut down. That's my only real complaint, though, because I think the music that they're making is so fucking cool and, like, weird, and I mean, Narrator is, like, I can't emphasize enough. I was doing some reading on Narrator, and you know what's weird? So this is maybe a little bit of a tangent, but it does tie together. So I've watched this movie a few weeks back called Long Day's Journey Into Night by the Chinese director Bai Gan. Just watched it because I remembered when it came out, I was like, oh, that looks kind of cool. Heard some good things about it. Watched it. It is very, like, very art housey, like, surreal, about, like, memories and identities shifting and dreams and whatnot. All that good shit. And I've been telling Jake he should watch it because he would like it.
Then I'm gonna see it in theaters, Zach.
You're not gonna happen. Although if it is showing in theaters, I'm going with you because I need to see that shit in theaters. Excuse me. And then, so I watched this movie earlier this month, let's say, and then like a week or two ago, I was looking up stuff about the song Narrator because I was like wanting to get a backstory on it. And apparently the song is inspired by that movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because, like, the song Narrator is all about, like, as you might guess, like, an unreliable narrator who has, like, this female muse who, over the course of the song, as it... We'll play a little bit of it. This thing sort of spiral out of control to where... the unreliability sort of calls into question whose story is this really, like, who's playing what role here, like, and that's what the song is about, and it's very fucking cool, and it ends in this sort of, like, chaotic screaming match over this noise, to, like, assert your own role, your own story, and watching that movie with that, like, thinking back to that movie with that in mind is fucking fascinating, and also is crazy how that movie keeps showing up in this shit. But it's very funny that, like, that random ass movie that I watched is like, oh yeah, no, this inspired the song of the year for 2021 also.
That is funny. I had no idea.
Yeah, it is a song builds for, or kind of just chills for, it's a long song, right? It's like 8 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
It chills out for about, like, 3 minutes, and then it breaks into this, like, this, like, I can only describe it as, like, a spiral into this fucking chaotic state of being, I guess. I'll play a little bit from that. Oh.
remind me a little bit of Talking Heads first time around.
A little bit of Talking Heads. They have Talking Heads influence in them, for sure, I'd say. I'm just trying to find where it starts. Because the first part, half of the song is, like, very cool and, like, fun and, like, funky. And then, in my opinion, I think whenever it, like, switches modes is when it's like, holy shit, like, I am caught with against all hope of escaping into this song. I play my
Press your iPad so hard.
Well, I don't. I was waiting to time it until it's not cut its lyrics off in the middle. continues to build from there into a full-blown breakdown.
Ouch.
Fucking Ouch. Awesome song.
Yeah, it is pretty awesome. Is that accurate to the movie?
In what way?
Just, you know, recognizably drawn from.
The story of the song with it, like, of a shifting, unreliable narrators, I would say is very much in line with the movie. I also want to play a little bit from the song Pamphlets. I really like this song a lot, too.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably the second favorite. This one's about a, like, shut-in who's bombarded with political propaganda, basically, in post-Brexit Britain. There's the part...
Brexit means Brexit.
I don't go outside. I see flagpoles firmly in sight. Like, that little bit is great. Let me see if I can. Last song in the album, also.
Outside.
Very, very fucking cool song. Every time we get, like, flyers in the mail, I always think the, in my head, the pamphlets through my door part of the song. Awesome album, though.
Mm-hmm.
Very good stuff.
Very good stuff, bruv. I agree.
Alright, I believe it is my turn. My number 6 album of the year is Vince Staples by Vince Staples. This is my number 1 rap album for a while.
Spoilers, it's not anymore.
But Vince continues to go on this tear he's been on the last few years. If you remember, FM, I think, was on, we highlighted a lot that year. And then, of course, there was Summertime 06. That was before we were doing this show, though. Excuse me. Big Fish Theory. That was before the show as well. Vince Staples is probably the leanest and toughest that he's ever sounded on record. My one thing is I wish Vince would get away from the Kenny Beats partnership. But for Kenny...
Weren't you not defending Kenny Beats?
I don't think so. When?
In the fucking... What the fuck am I thinking of?
I would never defend the white man.
Where we were talking about, there's some fucking rap album this year that came out with, like, a really fucking annoying producer.
Oh, that was DJ Drama.
DJ Drama, that's
right. That was on Call Me If You Get Lost. No, Kenny Beats, I'm not a fan of his production at all, really. And Vince has worked with him now multiple times. But I think he sounds... He did a great job on Vince Staples. It's, like, very, very, sort of not-in-your-face Kenny Beats-like. It's just very lean, a very tough album, I find. It's, as good as Vince has ever been in his, writing, also. The song, The Shining, is very good, I think. Also, it's short. It's like 20 minutes long, 10 songs. Don't get murdered. Little niggas out here with no purpose, loaded lurking. Rather get flipped than go flip burgers, tie and swerving. Niggas ain't built like that in person, city burning. Can't be saved with no sermon, still in searching. Ain't no nerd, left some enemies on that curb. I cannot be perturbed, I live by every word. I put this on my verse, I know my mama proud. These haters wanna down me, please. It's not what you think. I could be gone to blink, I don't wanna leave. Also, very cool power move to release your self-titled album, like, years into your career. No, I think Vince Staples is great, though. And that's definitely, I think, top 2 rap album this year. He continues to impress in all of his projects. And my number 5 album is For the First Time by Black Country New Road. Am I holding off on this one?
Yes.
Okay. I remember we made feverish overtures to this album for last year's best of, because it had just come out and we were listening to it.
That's right.
And we were like, oh, this is going to be one we talk about.
And, we talked like that.
And, I remember it really fucking came out and was like, holy shit.
Yeah, it did. Now you say that.
Tones we took with it.
Serendipity of it all. Now, it's interesting, it came out in February. Technically, we're getting these in done earlier than we did last year's,
what that means.
How crazy is that?
I mean, not that crazy. I think For the First Time is still really fucking good. It's not my album of the year anymore, like it was at one whenever it came out, and I thought it would be unimpeachable. But it's still really fucking good. I have issues with the band and with the album that I can get into.
Blackface, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yes.
Just kidding.
But, by and large, my opinions of the band are very positive. Yeah, I'm thinking. Also, they have their second album coming out early February.
That's right. They've been releasing a bunch of singles.
They're good, too.
They are really good.
Snow Globes is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, so we'll talk about that one in a bit. Throwing it back to Jake.
Where am I at?
You just did Bright Greenfield.
So I'm at number three?
Three.
So I think we're doing it right now, actually.
Let's go.
yeah.
So let's get into it.
Yep.
Okay. So Black Country New Road, it fits in with Squid and Black Midi and Dry Cleaning and Fontaine's DC this whole fucking class of Brits over there making fucking post-Brexit punk music shit, post-punk, whatever. Black Country's weird, though. They're all kind of weird. They all have their quirks. But Black Country is doing it in a way weirder way than everyone else, I think. They're more of, like, a collective than a band, if anything. They just got, like, fucking nine people, or not collective, ensemble. They're, like, a band. They got, like, nine, eight people. String sections, brass sections. Like, yeah. What the fuck is going on?
It's awesome.
It's very cool. So, for the first time, came out last February. What are we thinking?
I'm thinking the album is still great.
I'll let you...
Okay, let me start with the negatives first.
Yes,
good. Because I believe, if I remember correctly from last year, I believe that we gestured towards some things, and we gestured towards basically everything about this album, without getting really too much into it.
We only did gestures. We actually didn't, like, say anything
of
substance.
So, prior to the album coming out, then there's a series of singles that they released. It first was Athens, France, which is the... Oh my god, you already have their fucking page pulled up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Athens, France, which is the second song on the album. It's a six-song album. Now, I know what you're thinking. Wow, my money isn't being properly valued with the length of the content. Well, it's also 40 minutes long.
Let's go. We love to see that. Love to see it.
Six songs, 40 minutes. Four of these songs were singles prior to the album's official release. They're Athens, France, the middle four songs. Athens, France, Sunglasses, Science Fair, and Track X in the order of the singles release. And on the album, it's sequenced where Science Fair goes before Sunglasses. Otherwise, the same. Now, I think here's what I will say. Is Athens, France improved from its single version, I think. Which is weirdly...
Athens, France, probably my least favorite song on the album.
Still. I think so, too. Well, no, I don't think so.
You know what's crazy? Did you listen to the Injury Reserve album that came out this year? No. They sample Athens, France on the second song. Really? It's very weird. They also sample The Fall throughout. Like, the band The Fall. Well, I'm telling you. But it's very weird as, like, a rap album to sample, like, The Fall and Black Country New Road.
Athens, France, I think the album version is an improvement on the single version. I wasn't super in love with the single version. It also came out a long time ago. It's also, I feel like, not on Spotify anymore.
Haven't checked
recently. Don't know. Science Fair, I think, is basically unchanged from the single version, which is good because that song is fucking... Outstanding.
That song is great.
Track X, this one is like there's a single version in basically by technicality alone. I believe it was released like a couple days before the album came out.
I think you're right.
So it's like it's identical to the single version and probably the best song on the album.
It's that one was a grower. That one when the album came out, I was like, okay, Track X is fine, and I think I might agree with you now.
Yeah. Fantastic song.
Incredible.
Hugely different from what else is on the album also. Yes. And then Sunglasses. Now here's the problem, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Now you remember how I said the single version of Sunglasses is the best, probably the best song from the past 10 years?
I do remember that. That was just earlier in the show.
It sure was, Zach. What's maybe implicit in that is that the album version is not as good. I think the album version sucks, dude.
You think it sucks?
I think it's bad. I think the changes are straight up bad.
Okay, what changes? Because I'll be honest, I like the guitar feedback intro a lot.
I do too.
I really like that a lot.
I think there are changes in lyrics from single to album version.
Yeah, there are changes in lyrics.
None of them are good.
Here's where I'm not going to fully disagree with you, but thinking about this album a lot this year, I've listened to this album a lot this year, especially when it first came out. It was basically the only thing I was listening to, like, for a few weeks. I was obsessed with it. And it is excellent. As a debut album, like, it is a fucking great album. As I've thought about this album throughout the year, and my feelings on it have changed to where now I'm like, I think track X is the best song. And I love Science Fair, and I love Instrumental. I came to accept that I think Sunglasses was always the weak link, even dating back to the single.
Well, wrong there.
Because, and I hate to say this, because these guys are young, and they have so much fucking potential. I remember I called my shot a few years ago on this podcast. I said Black Midi, it was when Schlagenheim came out, and it wasn't on my top 10 list, but I shouted it out. And I said Black Midi could produce an okay computer level album for our generation. And I stand by that, and I don't think I've been disproven yet. And I'm going to make a similar claim that Black Country New Road is capable of creating a fully iconic, like, historic level good album in their careers.
I agree.
I have no doubt about it. They are so talented. But, skip, but. And Sunglasses is the point in which their flaws come out the worst, I think, is some of their writing is bad. Some of their songwriting is not good. Just straight up, it's why I don't really love Athens, France either. Why I love Track X and Science Fair is because they are these most sparse, sort of suggestive songwriting on the album.
Well, Science Fair especially.
Science Fair especially, and Track X, well, Track X, I mean, is the least wordy, I mean, short of the ones without words.
Before this gets into a whole thing, it's already a whole thing, but
we're into it.
Instrumental is the opening track on the album. This is excellent.
Incredible.
Fantastic.
I remember listening to that and feeling like my brain was on fire because I was like, oh, these people are doing something that is special. There is something going on here that is important.
See, I heard that and I was like, oh, they did it. They did the thing that I was expecting them to do, that I was hoping that they would do eventually at some point in their careers. They did it with their first album. Then I hit Sunglasses, I was like, no, they didn't. They fucked up. They didn't stick the landing. Sticking the landing, Opus is the other track, the closing track that
good song
was not released prior to the album. Song's fantastic as well.
Yes.
Anyway, Sunglasses. I'll disagree with you to a certain extent, but I'll agree with you to another extent.
We are into it.
Of course, we are on a different Cartesian sort of axis here. Is that I think they fiddled around with perfection too much here. Straight the fuck up. That first cut of Sunglasses was like game changer for me. Like, that was like, oh my god, this is that next level fucking shit here. I think, from instrumental to writing to, like, the sort of transitional, like, quality of it, moving from, like, one, I don't even know how you describe it, from, like, one act to another.
Yeah.
Narratively.
Yeah.
It was pitch perfect. It was a perfect pitch.
That
straight fucking under the bat strike out, like, get the fuck out of here.
I agree. I think that is an excellent part about the song. Also, I mean, the music of Sunglasses is fantastic. I mean, that's largely unchanged with the album version, and I agree. I think the structuring of the song is really impressive still.
But in the album version, this is a classic case of messing with something that you didn't need to mess with, because I think they changed some of the lyrics around. I think they flow a lot worse within the song.
They do.
I think they are a lot less snappy, a lot less sort of incisive, a lot less interesting in the ideas that they're presenting. The biggest issue with the song, though, is that it was not initially a song with singing. And it now entirely is.
And it basically full spoken word, yes.
Yep, it was basically the lead singer Isaac. I don't remember what his
Isaac actual Brown, name. I think.
Fake name, but yeah. Okay. It was him just like sort of doing like free verse type shit going on. There was like choruses and like different songwriting lyrical structures and things like that. But for the most part, it was just like straight delivery of like not even narrative, because it wasn't really telling the story, but of like lyrics. It's delivery of lyrics. Now in the album version, then it's like sung, and the song wasn't made for that, because the instrumental from the original version remains largely intact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so you're grafting this backing instrumental for what is essentially a spoken word song onto like a now sung word song, whatever fucking the opposite term for spoken word is. And it doesn't work. I hate to say it, but it doesn't fucking work, man.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what did it for me. Oh, you're pushing it to me now. Okay.
I don't know why I had it to begin with.
I'll tell you what did it for me. What made me realize, or what made me come to the conclusion, Sunglasses was actually never... The writing of Sunglasses was never why I loved the song. Because I really like that song a lot. And I agree, I think the album version is worse. I think we are mature enough, we can say that now. It is worse than the single version. In some respects, I'm agreeing with you, rather substantially. But in other respects, I think the problems with Sunglasses were always there. And I always come back to the fucking line about their cold hand grips the Nutribullet as the steel bullet. And it's like, yep. What the fuck are we doing? I hear that, and
wrong.
I say, wrong. What the fuck are we doing?
Like, that's like the best part.
No. No,
it's him fucking seeing, it's as the like,
cold blade.
The Jack Gladney fucking white noise Panasonic moment, the Don DeLillo moment of the song of like, wow, like the entire world is artificial, and I am just like a functionary of that. And then the sunglasses go on, and you cannot see that I'm scared.
Like,
love that fucking part.
It doesn't do it. It's like so, and this is gonna sound so much harsher than it is, because this is in my top 5 albums of the year, and I cannot praise this band enough, or this album enough, but it is so far up its own fucking ass that it's like, it cannot see sun, it couldn't see sunlight if it was on the fucking, in Venus. Like, it is so...
So wrong about this.
It thing. Is blocking out everything else with its own fucking head up its ass. It's so crazy.
You're so wrong about that shit.
And this, I don't remember if this is on the album one or the single one. I think this is on the single version, but the, like... So fuck me like you mean it. Like, yeah. It totally doesn't, like, get the fuck out of here. Like, we don't need any of that.
Well, okay, the alternative lyrics is, like, some weird shit about burn what's left of some shit that you had. Doesn't...
Also doesn't work.
Doesn't work, but at least the other one is, like, fits within the thematic, like, idea of the song. The new one is just, like, random... Feels like a random phrase that you just sort of pulled out and forced into the lyrical, you know, flow.
I think what I will say...
So you're 0-2 right now.
No, I am 100%. I think those are problems that I hope this band can avoid getting too caught up with itself. Because I think most of this album avoids that brilliantly. And I think most of these new singles do, too.
See, here's...
Because I think these singles are a lot of them have been way more lower key than like some of these songs on this album, which is very cool, and have largely been very much in check with in terms of like, I guess their sound and like the sort of ideas they're getting across. Like, I think they're doing the right shit based on their singles for their new album, which I'm really excited for. That's the only thing with Backcountry New Road, is they need to not get lost in their own fucking shit.
See, the point at which, if I were you making this incorrect argument, then the example that I would cite for it is the line in Track X, where he talks about saying, "I love you" in front of Black Midi.
That's
like, you could look at that and be like, this is the cringiest fucking shit ever. And it totally works within the song.
It does work within the song. I think that's why. I think that's why Track X, I don't feel it. Also, Track X is surrounded by a much more sort of, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? That's a much lower key song than Sunglasses. That line is surrounded by a story of a very sort of harmful breakup and suicide attempt. That line does stand out to me, and I don't hate it, but I don't love it.
I don't really love it either, but
because it is like a MCU British cinematic universe is coming together, because like these guys are like friends with the Black Midi folks, and like these guys are all friends with each other, like these groups and shit, and like they perform with each other, so I think that's kind of a neat little wink, but like,
but that's the point that I would say they're getting close to just like,
I agree,
their head up in their own ass, but agree. They still pull that off.
They pull it off because everything else in that song is so sort of straight-faced. Whereas Sunglasses doesn't know if it's a sexual freak out or like, and this ironic like sort of concealment of like neuroses, basically. And it's like
they're the same thing,
and it's like the structure of the song makes it
they're
work.
The same thing.
The structure of the
what
song,
what don't you understand,
makes it fucking work, because it is, I think, the transitions in like the story and the verses are really, really well done, but it just fucking, it's like, it's so, it feels like it is trying to prove fucking everything, and it does not need to, because they're good enough that they don't need to do that. But that's my thoughts on Sunglasses.
I'm never gonna knock an artist for ambition.
Me neither.
Sounds like you are.
Now, you want to know ambition.
Yeah, anyway, though, excellent album.
Is opening your album with this fucking song.
Oh. This is actually a crazy move, thinking about it.
It is. This, I was obsessed with this for probably half the time I was obsessed with this album. The drumming is insane. Skip ahead. This is instrumental also, I didn't really introduce that. The opening song of the album. I'm just skipping ahead. Fucking awesome opening.
Yeah.
Also, here's something that is like really unique about this band, is there's like these inflections of like, I believe it's klezmer music, which is like the traditional like Yiddish like music throughout. I don't know if they're like a largely Jewish like ensemble or what, but like it's fucking cool. It shows up again in Opus.
Don't worry, everybody that writes about music became an expert on klezmer when this album came out last year. So I'm sure everybody's familiar enough with it already.
Here's a little bit from Science Fair, which is another favorite.
The amount of times I looked up, I read a fucking news article about this band, and there's
it mentions klezmer. Really?
Every single one.
Really? Yep. That's funny. I don't think I read like anything about them.
I was very excited for this album.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. This is a bit from Science Fair. The moment in Science Fair, you know what I'm going to say, when the fucking synths come in, one of my favorite musical moments of the season. Of the season. Of the fucking year. No doubt. Brilliant. Takes this fucking weird song about a, like, sexual, like, deviant pervert.
I mean, the song is basically Vertigo.
Yeah, right.
This is why it's awesome.
Let's skip ahead. The second half of the song, like, blew my fucking mind when it came out as a single. I was like, this is another level of a fucking band right now.
I saw you undressing. Stop on that creepy one.
I mean, that's the creepiest song in the album, for sure.
It's probably... It might be the best as well. Better track X, I feel.
It's so good. May as well play
anyway,
track X.
Nah, no. Track X is a little slow.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, the shortest song in the album. But.
Yes. Yeah.
So, a lot of complaining here about sunglasses, but in summary, I feel like, to get this moving along, high points of this album are probably as high as, you know, anything from the past couple years.
Yeah.
It can't quite keep it up all the way through.
But it's awesome. It is an awesome album, like, through and through. That band, I'm really fucking looking forward to their next album a lot, and to see where they go. There's something in the water out fucking across the pond. I don't know what it is. There's some incredible music coming out of there, though. Okay, so I guess it's my turn again. My number four album of the year, these are two fun ones, is Donda by Ye. I think this is my favorite rap album of the year.
Put a pin in that,
baby. Ooh, okay. I will just say, this is my favorite rap album of the year. It's a long one, right? It's like almost 2 hours long. And I, on Spotify, I hid the... Jail Part 2, where are they? Let me look at them quick. There was, like, Part 2s of... Part 2, yeah, you can, like, hide songs so they don't play whenever you listen to an album.
What?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I had to for Donda, because there are Part 2s of Jail, OK OK, and Junya. All are worse than the originals. And so I hid them so I could enjoy the album more without them.
That's a good idea.
I kept Jesus Lord Part 2 because I think that's just as good as Jesus Lord Part regular one. This is a long album, though. It is all in all 27 songs, nearly 2 hours long. I think it's fucking great, though. I remember the morning this came out, sitting in bed. It was a weekend, I think. And just sitting in bed, listening to the whole thing, like, giddy. As a Kanye fan, I was like, fuck, man. He made some really good music here. It's not perfect by any means, and I guess we'll get into it. You have it coming up. But it is... It's as good of music as he's made in years, I think. Which is really fucking cool. And my number three... We're in the top three. We're moving. We're cooking, baby. My number three, this one came on out of nowhere. It is Glow On by the band Turnstile. Did you listen to this?
I did. I like this album.
I fucking love this album. And I am not, like... I'm not into, like, the hardcore scene, like, at all, really. Like, I don't really listen to music of that type. Modern day, I should say. I usually stick to, like, 80s hardcore, if anything. Turnstile apparently has been a staple of the hardcore scene for years now. And Glow On, I think, was their big crossover moment. They got a lot of... They got a lot of buzz for this album, and it's fucking awesome. I listened to it probably for the first time in, like, end of November. I don't know when it came out. I think September. I guess I have the iPad in front of me. I can look it up. I think it came out end of September, maybe early October. No, August. Okay, fuck me. Came out in August, and I didn't listen to it until about the end of the year, and it immediately shot up into, like, my top five for the year. Because it is just so fucking, like, there is so much, like, just fun to be had on this album. It's, like, they are, like, you can hear them, like, just fucking tearing it up. And there's, like, moments of, like, I hate to say this, but there's, like, moments of, like, rap rock that I fucking love on this album a lot. That are, like, insane for me to say that as a hater of rap rock. They are awesome, though. Like, they are so much fun, so energetic, and they can just pump out some fucking jams. This is, I'm gonna play Holiday, which is one of my favorites off the album. Super, like, I don't know, super fucking fun band. And the album is just a, free the neck and the body will follow.
What?
As they say. Like, free the neck, like, you know, headbanging, and the body will follow. I didn't fucking make it up. The fuck? Is really fun. Humanoid / Shake Up is really fun because that's the most, like, rap rock it gets in the second half. That's, like, out of nowhere, and I'm like, what the fuck, man? Also, most of these songs are really short. They're, like, 3 minutes long or whatever. Like, they're quick. They go. They
oh, fuck. That's a normal song length.
Okay. Yeah, man. What the fuck? It's awesome. Like, it's so... I don't really know how to talk about this album in a way that's, like, deeper than, like... It's just fucking awesome. Because it is. It's just, like... They just pump out these grooves and these jams. Like, it's awesome. Have you ever seen, like, a live performance of them on YouTube or anything like that?
No.
It is the most stress-inducing shit I've ever seen in my life. Because I guess... I don't know if this is just a hallmark of, like, hardcore... groups or what, but they get like people from the crowd will just, like, walk onto stage and just, like, run behind the singer and shit and, like, weave between the people playing instruments and just, like, jump off into the crowd. It's the most I'll show you after this. That. It's so insane to watch. It gives me, like, anxiety because I'm like, he's gonna, like, run into one of them, and they never do. Like, I don't know how it happens. There's, like, this, like, untouchable, like, flow to it where they never interrupt any of the music or anything like that. Like, it's crazy. Awesome album, though. Glow On by Turnstile. Really, really, really fucking liked it a lot. All right, Jake, you're up.
All right, it's dawn to time.
All right, well, we're back.
Yeah, well, okay.
Donda. Donda.
Look, Donda. This is the most confident Kanye has been in his music in since Pablo, at least.
Easily.
And
if not longer.
If not until since Yeezus.
Yes.
And I think that shows. Though Donda sort of underwent a... now, I'll be honest, I only listened to this album once.
The whole way through?
Yeah.
Me too. I've listened to songs off of it. Like, I've, you know, had it shuffled a few times, but, like... yeah, I've only done one.
It's a lot, but...
it is a lot. That's a pretty, you know...
But it's, you know... For an artist with a as checkered a sort of output as Kanye has had recently, then this is probably as good as anything we could have asked for from him.
If not better, yeah. Frankly. I'll be honest, I don't think I really had that high expectations whenever it was like, oh, Donda's coming out. Like, this isn't a joke. Like, he is releasing an album. I was just kind of like, well, I don't really know what the fuck it's going to be like. And it's like, oh, well, this is the album that you wanted Pablo to be the whole time.
Yep, 100%.
And it is. It's like the sprawling, like, experimental, like, heartfelt sort of thing that, like, Kanye has not made in a while. Like, Ye was kind of a mess, had really good moments, but kind of a mess. Jesus is King was whatever. Pablo.
Jesus King was very safe.
Yeah, didn't do anything really exciting, in my opinion. Pablo had its moments that are really fucking good,
mm-hmm.
and had a lot of bad moments too.
Mm-hmm.
Donda is, it's Pablo with maybe less high highs, but way, way, way fewer lows.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think the lows can honestly be summed up in the part twos almost entirely.
Yeah.
Which can be... as I've said, it completely ignored it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're judging the album, then you shouldn't.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Because they are, he did decide to, you know, put them onto the album.
And it was a mistake.
Whatever reason. But yeah, I can't really speak in any detail about this again because I haven't listened to it since fucking August. But it is just like, damn, Kanye's back, man. Kanye's doing his thing again.
Like, he's still got it. Like, if there was any doubts, which there were certainly doubts to be had, if, oh, Kanye lost a step in the last couple years, like, whatever's been going on in his personal life is, you know, he's not the musician he once was. It's like, actually, I think he is. Like, yeah. And it's kind of awesome. Because if you have a motivated and working Kanye West out there, like, that's an exciting sort of prospect in music, because the man can make some fucking music, and there's great songs on Donda.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting that this release has sort of opened up a discussion about Kanye's legacy as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's one that people are not going to really want to have while Kanye is still, like, doing his thing, being the sort of, like, vacuum of attention that mm-hmm. he is within, like, pop culture and celebrity media and stuff like that. People aren't going to really want to talk about how Kanye has maybe the best career of, like, any American musician of all time. But that conversation is going to need to be had at some point or another. And, you know, it feel like Donda, partially I think because this has been just in rumored to be in the works for so long that now it feels like either a chapter is closing or like a new chapter is beginning.
Yeah,
for him. And obviously, like, there's been an announcement, I don't know how legitimate it is, that Donda 2 is releasing.
Apparently soon. Very legitimate. I think it's supposed to come out February 22nd.
So we'll see what that is. But Donda would seem to indicate that, yes, he has sort of regained a creative spark that I feel like a lot of people felt was not there for the past couple years.
My one thing, and I hate to...
And also there's the documentary about
it. Genius. Yeah.
Coming out on Netflix.
I should watch that as a Kanye fan. I still need to see the Beatles one, though. My one kind of sticking criticism to this album that I feel like is so petty and not really worth criticizing, but I think it is, it does take some away, is the, how he, censors the swears on the album.
I didn't even notice it, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
There were, that's, I think that's my problem, is there were points where I was noticing it. There were points where it didn't matter, and for the most part, I think that's very cool, actually, that, like, he can censor, like, that, his songs, and it's like, oh, this is still very good. But then there are points where I'm like, that, like, weird break or, like, edit, like, sounds weird in a way that's, like, awkward. But that's really it, is, like, other than that, it's like, yeah, like, I agree. Like, this is, like, Kanye sounds like he is back doing what he loves to do.
How Kanye got his groove back.
Kinda, yeah. And, like, except now this is, like, a new Kanye. Like, this isn't the, like, sort of hedonistic, like, man of, like, Pablo, per se. Like, there's the sort of, like, religious undertaking that he's had in the last year, like, is all throughout this album still. Like, that's mm-hmm. not going away either. Like, that's still him. And it's still, you know, his surprisingly steadfast, I guess, commitment to carceral justice is also here, too. There's the, what's the man on Jesus is Lord? The, closing sort of verse of the guy's father who's in jail.
I have no idea.
Oh yeah, I guess you haven't listened to this in a while. But there's a closing verse of the guy's father who's been in jail for like decades or whatever, and it's like Kanye kind of in the past few years, like, that is something that he was like committed to doing also. Like, I remember there was times when he would meet with like Trump on like commuting sentences and stuff like that. Like,
I remember that too.
Like, there is a new Kanye than maybe our memories of him, and it's all there on Donda, and it's really good for the most, like, it's fascinating for the most part, and also he's still got it. My thing that I was wondering about the other day, because I was listening to a leak from the TurboGrafx-16 project.
Man, remember that.
I do, because the leak is fucking awesome. It's called Come to Be, I think. Is I wonder how much DNA is, whoa, hello, how much DNA transferred from Yandi to
Yandi, holy shit,
to Jesus is King, or not, to TurboGrafx, to whatever the other rumored releases were that never came out. Like, I wonder how to ultimately Donda. Like, I wonder how much through line there was between them. Very curious. I don't know if we'll ever find out for sure. I want to play some of Come to Life, because Come to Life has one of the most beautiful musical moments of the year. That when I first listened to it, I was like blown away, soul ascending to heaven when I heard it. Also just a great song. Hopefully Spotify works. It just crapped out on me. Blah. Oh, son of a bitch. Okay, let me restart it. Vamp, quick.
I think that this is an album that we're probably gonna take a couple years to really evaluate fully. I think partially because the circumstances of its release was like in the middle of this fucking canned beef between him and Drake.
That really fizzled out, didn't it?
That, well, they did the like live show together, and it's like,
that's right,
okay, I guess was none of this mattered. And then Drake released his album like a week after Donda, and yeah, that sort of sucked up some of the air from it, which on that note, haven't heard fucking anybody talk about Drake's album since it came out.
Sucks. It's so bad.
So I feel like, you know, maybe there's some circumstances around the release of this album kind of came together to maybe flatten some of the reception of it, and it's probably gonna take a little bit of time to really
That's kind of been Kanye since, like, Yeezus, though.
Yeah.
Is he, we don't, you know, his impact isn't really measured until hindsight takes its toll, which pretty, I mean, you know, worse things to do, worse, or worse effects to have as an artist. Let me see if this works now. Yeah. Okay, so this has come to life. I'm gonna skip ahead a little bit. Man, was she home to life? Make it all cutting in again. 3, 2, 1, your pen. I'll go right back in the pen. Tell me how Auntie Ben took your thoughts and penciled them in. Should've wrote them down in pen. And maybe they'll come to life. That. Oh my God. Like, man, the man is so capable of making, like, beautiful music that it's, like, insane. Like, I hate to, like, because Kanye really is just very different from, like, all, basically every other rapper, like, of the last 20 years or so. So it's almost...
Well, fucking ever.
Or, yeah, I mean, ever. So it's, like, basically pointless to even compare him. But it's, like... There really are rappers that can make music that it's, like, so consistently, like, gives me, like, goosebumps and, like, chills and shit. And it's, like, all throughout Donda, I was having that, where I was, like, oh my God, like, this is, like, not just is this, like, fucking, like, Kanye back, but it's, like, Kanye is really back, man.
Yeah. I don't know where this, like, falls in my, sort of ranking of his albums. But, I mean, it's in the top half.
Yeah.
For sure.
I also want to play some of the last, quote, last song, No Child Left Behind, because that's also another one that I really, really liked a lot. Also, brief little just music tangent, but Kanye and Tyler, the Creator, both, are some of the only producers working nowadays in rap that, like, fully understand the power of chords in music. And, like, Kanye's been doing, you know, Kanye has for years and years and years, and Tyler, the Creator, has a really strong knack for it as well. But it sets their production apart from everyone else in such a, like, simple and fascinating way that it's, like, instantly identifiable, where it's like, oh yeah, a Kanye beat is gonna have a chord structure to it, like, as crazy, as fucking duh as that sounds, it's still, it, like, makes a difference. There was a whole intro. No child left behind. 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 Very pretty song to close out the album on. Also, worth mentioning, has the single worst line of any rap song of the year when Jay-Z said, "Made in the image of God, that's a selfie."
I'm sure we could find worse.
But I don't know. Jay opens with two fucking hot duds, and the rest of his verse is really good on Jail. What's the first one? So about Jesus on my phone, that's my celly, or something like that. What the fuck are you talking about, man?
Google it.
made in the image of God. That's a selfie.
What's his fucking line in the Pusha T song?
Google me. Or something like that.
Some shit about Google. It's like, bro, do not rap to me about Google.
Okay, so that's Donda. I guess it's flipping back over to me. Number two, album of the year, Cavalcade by Black Midi. This is a good album. This is a really good one. Black Midi, we've already talked about in gestures so far. They're that crop of Brits that we refer to and that we know and love. They were the ones years ago to burst on the scene with Schlagenheim and their weird fucking prog shit. And I think they perfected it on Cavalcade, or maybe not perfected, because I don't think it's a perfect album, but I think they took their game to another level on Cavalcade into a direction that is fucking so cool for me. In my opinion, into this, like, weird, almost jazzy point at moments, on, like, Marlene Dietrich is, like, I don't even know how to call that song, like a ballroom almost thing going on, a Hogwash and Balderdash is this fucking insane, like, industrial, like, sprint. Ascending Forth is this really fucking, quite a pretty song that also, like, all just builds up to ending the song on an ascending fourth chord, which is, like, really fucking funny that they did that. John 50 is, like, one of my favorite songs of the year. Probably my favorite Black Midi song, period. Just an insane fucking opener about this deranged cult leader who causes his followers to kill themselves. Like, there is, like they have a lot of, like, very fun and, like, weird fucking ideas on this album that are, I think, largely they are incredible music. Also, we should say we saw them live in October, which was a very, very, very fun show. And they're incredible musicians who are also just, like, obsessed with doing, like, very weird fucking shit and carving out this, like, ever stranger niche for themselves in this, like, field of, like, proggy post-punk music that is, like, awesome to watch as someone who's, like nerds out over that shit. Cavalcade, I think, was super strong front to back. The only song that I really didn't care for at all was Diamond Stuff, which is kind of a momentum killer. It's a very soft, like, finger-puck guitar sort of thing that doesn't really go anywhere for me, and it's also way too long. But other than that, I mean, I think all these songs are, like, awesome. Range from, like, really good to, like, fucking awesome. And they just push the envelope for what Black Midi is and what this sound is, to where the point where it's like, I have no idea how to fucking describe Black Midi as a band, as what music they make anymore. Like, I have no idea. They're totally in their own universe, doing their own thing. I don't think Cavalcade is an OK Computer album, like I predicted they could make. There's still time, though, and this is certainly not shot my confidence in them, because I think it's my number two album of the year, like, you know, hardly a disappointment in any way. But they're making moves that I'm really fucking into. I want to play some John 50. John 50 gets going pretty much from the jump. Also, the video for this song is fucking crazy. Very cool.
Three over is almost Sonny Boy. backed only by accordion. Three rows of pale brunettes protected from the crowd. And a curtain is a patchwork of imitation vermilion. And a red ball hangs over the throne that has been found.
And then the end of the song, like, goes into this, like, herky-jerky, like, stop-start sort of deal that I have no idea how, like, as musicians they were able to, like, sync up on it in any way in, like, a performance setting. Like, I have no fucking idea, but it's insanely impressive to me. Very fucking crazy song. I really love it a lot, though. And then Hogwash and Balderdash is another... I feel like I'm most drawn to the Black Midi songs that are, like, just fucking buck wild. And I think John 50 and Hogwash and Balderdash are the two on this album that are, like, all gas, no breaks. But, like, their more sort of chill stuff is really, really fucking good on this album, too. Like, Marlene and Dietrich. But here's Hogwash and Balderdash as well. Awesome album. I loved it a lot. And I guess
that leaves one.
leaves number one for me. And this is actually one that we've talked about already before.
Yes, it is.
Just briefly.
No, we talked about this pretty in depth.
Did we?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. It is the album To See the Next Part of the Dream by Paranoid. I guess we've already elaborated on a bit about it, how it's made by a basically unknown person in Korea. Not sure if they are a student, if there's a band they are a part of. I don't believe it is, because I believe I read that every instrument is digital on this, which is fucking crazy to me. To See the Next Part of the Dream grew on me a whole lot throughout the year, despite it being Korean and me not really, you know, unable to understand these songs or the lyrics. It grew on me a whole lot throughout the year, where whenever I first heard it, I loved it a lot. And by the end of the year, it was very clearly my favorite album. Over things like Black Midi that I very well known to have loved. But this is about all I could have ever asked for out of, like, a shoegaze album in 2021, as a big fan of the shoegaze, like, subgenre. Like, it's certainly no My Bloody Valentine, it's not Loveless, but it's nothing is either, so, like, you know, everything else is either trying to chase that and failing, or doing its own thing and making something really cool, and this is doing the latter and making one of the coolest, I think, contributions to the shoegaze canon that I think I've ever had the enjoyment of listening to. I think this is really up there with some of my favorite of the genre, like, ever. Like, Loveless is pretty, like, untouchable, and so is, like, MBV, their 2013 follow-up. My Bloody Valentine's follow-up, I should say. Excuse me. Like, those are pretty untouchable albums, like, in just music history to me. But other than that, I mean, To See the Next Part of the Dream is, like, as good as any shoegaze album I've ever heard. Like, it stands toe-to-toe with all of them. And, like cultural barrier, language barriers notwithstanding, like, the shit that this paranormal person, whoever they are, they may be, like, was able to produce on this is so fucking mind-blowing. Because it's so rough, too. Like, there's... I remember distinctly talking about how, like, on some of these songs, the drums sound so shitty. And, like, they peak on, like, the audio, like, so obviously. And, like, everything... And it, like... There's, like, not a cleanness at all to the audio quality. Like, it's very, very clearly rough. But, like, that's... To me, it's like, if you're not going to be Loveless and spend $1 million making a psychotically perfect, like, perfectionist-driven album, then it's like, this is what I fucking want. It's like, this, like, there's, like, heart here that is, like, not in every other album that I listen to. Like, there's, like, the heart is, like, worn on the sleeve here by Paranoid, and that is such a, like, obvious, like, project of, like, love and passion for, like, this type of sound and this, like, type of music that is, like, feels like, I guess, maybe cheap to say it, I can look past the, like, the rougher aspects, but it's like, I don't think I'm looking past them. I think they are, if anything, adding to my enjoyment of it, because it is so obviously a labor of love that, like, this person spent probably a very long time putting together. If it is true that they are a single, the single member of Paranoid, then I'd imagine this was quite an undertaking to put this together. And it, I mean, it's incredible. Like, it is so, like, it is everything I'd ever wanted out of shoegaze. And coming from this fucking, I can't emphasize enough how, like, out of nowhere this shit is also, because it's, like, I don't listen to, like, Korean music, especially, like, Korean shoegaze. Like, I didn't know if there was I don't even know if there is a scene for that, like, going on or ever has been. Just randomly got this recommended one day by, like, a Twitter mutual. And it is so, so profoundly, like, grown on me that it's, like, it's my easy choice for, I'd say, album of the year. And really is, like, definitely more than that, too, because it is, like, this genre that I love a lot and, like, really am drawn to, like, a lot, and have been searching for, like, a meaningful addition to the canon, I guess, for years now, and just haven't really been able to find anything that clicks. Like, this clicked harder than just about anything I've ever listened to. And I would be remiss to not play the opening song, Beautiful World, which is immediately got its hooks into me. That's fucking it, man. That's the money shot right there, to use a maybe gross analogy. But that's it. Immediately heard that, sold. Only up from there. And I also want to play a little bit of the last song, I Can Feel My Heart Touching You. Specifically, there's a part near the end of this that where the singer he's repeating this this chorus, I suppose, which I'm not sure what it is. I haven't really bothered to look up a translation for the lyrics. I'm more working with vibes here, man. But there's a part towards the end of this song, which is the last song in the album, where he's repeating this chorus. And one of the repetitions, like, his voice, like, cracks very noticeably. And it's still fucking, it's here on the finished product. Like, I fucking love that. Like, that, like, technically, like, yeah, that's not good, right? Like, you know, that should be another take. I don't give a shit, though, because, like, that is such a fucking, like, a summation of, like, why I really, really love this album is, like, yeah, like, here's this guy, like, voice cracking, singing, and this, the climax of the whole thing, like, it doesn't get fucking better than that, man. It's earlier in the song that it happened, but still, like, fucking, it's also funny because, like, every time I post my, like, Last FM, like, charts, like, every month on Twitter, and it's, like, every time this one has shown up on the chart, I, without fail, always get someone replying, like, that Paranoia album's so fucking good, man, which is really funny. I guess, like, word of mouth has really worked in this one's favor. That's the album of the year, though, I think. Mm-hmm. I have no real fucking, like, no second doubts about it. Like, there's a lot of great music this year. Like, as I said, Black Midi Cavalcade is awesome. I love it a lot. Donda's awesome. Black Country New Road is great. I really have zero, like, second doubts that to see the next part of the dream is, it, like, this is pretty easy for me. Like, this is the one. And I think this is an album that's gonna be really special for me for a while. Like, I can see myself listening to this for years and years and years. I bought a physical, like, CD of this, just as, like, just to own it. I have not received it yet. I bought it, like, months ago. I don't know what's up with it.
You should email them about that.
I don't know what the contact info is.
Where did you buy it?
Off of his Bandcamp.
Oh, then probably just has some contact info on Bandcamp.
Yeah, maybe I should look into it. No, easy choice for me. Album of the year. Really, really, really fucking love it. Yeah,
I mean, same thing, same album.
This is yours?
Yeah.
Whoa. I mean,
we talked about this a lot, like, 8 months ago.
Oh, well, okay.
I feel like, you know, I don't have a whole lot more to say about it.
Really? This is your album of the year?
Yeah.
Huh. I would not have guessed that at all. Me and Jake differ quite significantly on our feelings on Shoegaze, I've always thought.
I don't really have any feelings one way or another on it.
And I have very strong feelings, so I guess there's the differ. Wow, really?
I said at the time, when it came out, that I was like, yeah, this is probably going to be the number one. For me.
Really? I don't remember that. Yeah.
And it is.
Still?
Yeah.
Do you go back to it a lot?
Sometimes. Not lately.
It's great. It is a really special thing, I think. Yeah. I really love this one a lot. Very cool. I think that's the first time we've ever had the same number one. Is that curtains then?
Excuse me. I think so. That's all I have to say about 2021.
Yes, sir. I suppose it is too. So then I guess we can give our unanimous recommendation. The more podcasts about Bones and Food album of the year is To See the Next Part of the Dream by Paranoia.
Yep.
Wow. That's right. First time we've ever been able to do that. It couldn't happen to a better guy, I bet. Yeah, this will give him the boot. This will give him the shine, the publicity that he needs to really.
You're gonna make it.
Get it big. No, it was a really good year for music, I think. Yeah, the Paranoia album is really fucking special, I think. Yeah, a lot of stuff I love, though. A whole lot of stuff, and I'm very excited for music this year. It's supposed to be Black Country New Road. I've heard rumors there's supposed to be a Radiohead album out this year.
Okay.
Which is, we're a little bit hyped about. There's the perpetual shadow of Kendrick Lamar hanging over.
I know. That's true.
Pusha T has an album coming out, which is cool, because Daytona was great. Yeah, there's some really good music coming on the horizon. Starting with that Black Country New Road. Oh, there's already been some good music with the Earl Sweatshirt album. That was really good. I like that a lot. The Weeknd one is really good. I like that a lot. There's another one I liked a lot. The Yard Act album was kind of cool. Didn't really love that, but, you know. has a really good opening song, The Overload. Really good music on the horizon here. Excited to see what comes about it. Stay tuned, I'm sure we'll have thoughts. Is that gonna do it? Under that, 2 hours.
That'll do it for me.
That's gotta be a record.
Good shit.
Alrighty. Thank you. Bye bye.